Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
Ladies and gents, welcome back once again. All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Bryant McFadden. P2 and B-Mac is what they call us. Welcome to the show. Another episode for you guys to hopefully enjoy. Granted, it's not as entertaining as it is when you're talking about a win, but unfortunately, it was a loss. That is the life of the National Football League. So on this episode, Pat P, we will be recapping. What you got?
And I said, talk to me.
Yeah, we will be recapping the loss against the Jacksonville Jaguars this past Sunday there in Acushnet Stadium. And we will be previewing a short week because guess what? A national opportunity for the Pittsburgh Steelers Thursday night football there in Pittsburgh against the revamped Tennessee Titans, to say the least, because they have a new quarterback in Will Levis. Looked real good in his first start against the Atlanta Falcons. There's a lot we will talk about in regards to that matchup. But before we get there, we got to talk about the Jacksonville Jaguar game. Jags recap, Jags win 20-10. My prediction was 29-20. Okay, the only thing I was close with, clearly I was off because I predicted the Steelers to win. But I was pretty close in the margin of victory. You know, they actually won by 10. I had you guys winning by 9. So most importantly, I was off with who won. I got to get better with my prediction. And you guys got to help me make my prediction right. And that will happen this week. Pat P, before we get really involved in the ball game, the previous game against the Jacksonville Jaguars, I was up there this past weekend. In attendance, unfortunately, I didn't have my rabbit foot with me.
Man, the rabbit foot didn't bring his foot, man.
Rabbit foot, ain't bring the foot, no question. And why is a rabbit foot supposed to be lucky? It's the end of a rabbit foot. That means a rabbit had to be punished.
It did. Like, right.
That don't make sense. Like, a rabbit
gotta
foot, that means an innocent rabbit had to be punished.
Yeah, it got to be a Southern saying.
Yeah, and why would a rabbit foot be lucky when a rabbit had to be punished? I don't know. But that's weird. But I didn't bring my rabbit foot. You're right. And unfortunately, you didn't have the luck that you needed to have to win. But there was a good weekend leading up to the ball game, to say the least. The Hall of Honors, Pat P, have you visited the Hall of Honors Museum in the stadium?
I have not.
You haven't? Boy, listen, bro. And for all our listeners and our viewers that are checking us out, man, listen, if you're in Pittsburgh, if you're visiting Pittsburgh, if you live there, please go visit the Hall of Honors Museum. The only other hall that's better than what we have there in Acushnet Stadium is the hall in Canton, Ohio. Mm. Like the NFL Hall of Fame. The Hall of Honor Museum, man, it has so much quality content for you to read, to watch. I mean, jerseys, helmets, iconic pictures. And it's extremely spacious. I was so surprised about the space in regards to having everything there. I mean, you know, there's so much tradition, Pat P. You know, you talk about the 60s, 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and still adding on. Man, it highlighted all the great legendary players since the beginning up until this point. I mean, helmets, shoulder pads, jerseys, telling stories, talking about giving people behind the game their flowers, man. It was a dope experience. And because of that, you know, we had 4 new members go into the Hall of Honors. You know, 2 of those members were my teammates and Aaron Smith and James Harrison. As you saw, James Harrison came out of the tunnel like he's ready. James Harrison, I don't know what type of weights he's lifting. He don't even lift weights. I think he just eat them. I think he put them in his shirt because that man, he is a weight, basically. But we were up there. A lot of former guys were there. You know, myself, you know, Joey Porter Sr., Troy Polamalu, Ike Taylor, Kiso, Big Ben. Man, we were deep. I think we had a nice championship like flag team. So if anybody wanted to see us, you know, playing some flag football, I think we had enough guys to play some flag football. But that was a good experience. And as I stated, you know, James Harrison came out of the tunnel, got a chance to interact with a lot of fans. So that was a great experience. But like I said, the Hall of Honor Museum right there in Acushnet Stadium, man, one of the best experiences you will have as a football fan, especially of a fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now let's transition to the game. Before we get into the game, there's some things I want to get off my chest because I can't get fined because I'm not a player. The referees did a horrible job. Horrible job. Not saying that's the reason why the Pittsburgh Steelers lost, but it didn't help them in regards to winning that ball game. There's a lot of things that I'm confused about. For one, roughing the passer. I thought it was a generic written rule for quarterbacks and being tossed or slammed through the turf. Heck, we saw Tua Tagovailoa get concussed last year because he was slammed through the turf. So we thought, based on how they call the game, the officials, when you see a quarterback throw down to the turf in a violent form
and landing on top of him
that should be a penalty, especially when the man is injured. So we saw a roughing the passer penalty against Trevor Lawrence that was called. Clearly I felt that was not warranted, but then when you look at Kenny Pickett getting hit, so you're thinking and assuming as a fan, a flag gotta be coming. No right. flag, and the man is injured. The man's shoulder was injured because he got he was thrown to the ground in a violent fashion on his shoulder. And then the man landed on his ribs. So referees, at some point in time, this is how I feel about the game. And I understand people might say, well, it might make the game longer. Some of these personal fouls should be reviewed. Some of these personal foul penalties, the same can be said for some PI penalties, should be reviewed. I feel like moving forward, the rules committee should implement a reviewable challenge for each team. You have one opportunity to review a penalty that's going against you or that did not go against you, right? So my example would be on that penalty, the play with Kenny when there was no flag call, that should be reviewed. We should look at that again and see, should that warrant a flag? Because clearly when same can be said for the roughing the passer against us. That should be reviewed. You should have an opportunity to review that, at least one. But that was bogus. And then right before halftime, Boz, I'm sorry, Boz. I said you was going to miss an extra point, but I didn't mean a field goal attempt.
That
was a 60-plus yard. Don't put that
I don't care. What did I say?
I didn't want to talk about that. I was just trying to get to the play. The penalty can't, that's all. But I'm trying to get to the penalty. Right, offsides on a guard on a field goal team, not the field goal defense.
I thought the defense can only be offsides, though.
So they said that guard lined up offsides. And then when you see it, when they drew the actual line of scrimmage, they had their end man was offsides.
But that's what I'm saying. I thought
yes,
defenders can become offsides, not an offensive lineman.
That was horrible. And at that time, it was a close game. It was like a mini nail biter.
It was 9-3.
You go into half down 9-6. Offensively, they really didn't do anything against your defense. Our offense didn't do anything against their defense. But it's a two-quarter ball game. And who knows? That was a momentum shifter if we were able to make that play, make that 3 points. Referees, I mean, and then you know what I hate, Pat P, listeners and audience, I hate when they come out and say they got it wrong. Huh? What? How y'all going to tell us on Tuesday and Wednesday y'all got it wrong? What? They did the Colts like that last week against the Browns. They led to the Browns winning that ball game, by the way, right? Oh, we got it wrong. We missed that. I wish it was that simple for us as players. Yeah.
What the league has to do, man, is they have to hire these guys full time so they can continue to look at film, continue to look at calls, continue to look at motions, to have a study guide on certain players. Because these guys got regular 9-to-5s. They're not worried about the game. Not saying all of them don't, but they're not. They have a 9-to-5 job. So they're... Yeah. Their 9-to-5 job, they're focused on their 9-to-5. They're not solely focusing on how to referee a game or if they got to get, if they got to call bad on, you know, how they could become better. Maybe they do. But I feel like if they give these guys a full-time job, and I guess they would have to up their, you know, their pay or whatever, but to make the game better and not have these continuing conversations Tuesdays of, oh, I got it wrong, or the game and these games are too precious in this moment of the season where we're playing an AFC opponent, where this can come down to if we get in the playoff or not, or seeding. You know, it's a lot that can lay, you know, that lays on this one game that just happened. So you always want to make sure that the game is being officiated, you feel, the right way.
It was hard. That play right before half was clear. I was like, what? A guard? Like, really? I never seen that called in all of my days of being a part of
it. What about
that
PI early?
Oh, the PI on Lane.
No, the one on on Lane. Jeremy, what's the name was guarding him? JP.
No, it wasn't JP. It was 42.
It was 42. Jamie Pierre,
yeah, bitch, Pierre, my bad. Yeah, that PI on Pierre on the third down, stopping early in the first half. That was bogus. I don't know. Y'all pissed somebody off. I don't know who it was. Y'all pissed somebody off, either a player or a coach, because they started off on the wrong end of the stick. They started off. That PI third down, that led to their first field goal attempt, by the way, if I'm not mistaken. That led to the first field goal attempt. That right there was bogus, because he went around him, didn't really make any significant contact that warranted anything to be called. Great play by Pierre, stepping in, you know, playing some substantial snaps, by the way, playing some real good football. I mean, like, come on, bro. Like, what we doing? Like, I don't know. But, yeah, the field goal joint, the Kenny Pickett, now our quarterback down bad because he got slammed through the turf and there was no penalty call. If that would have been Pat Mahomes, penalty for sure. For sure. Jalen Hurts, Tua Tagovailoa. Heck, they treated Trevor Lawrence with much caution than Kenny Pickett. And the man was injured. And like I said, we know when you're tackling or sacking or hitting a quarterback, they don't want you to violently throw them to the ground, and they don't want you to land on them with your force. In both cases, that happened to Kenny.
Yeah.
Deontay Johnson didn't hold back. They were calling, this is coming from Deontay Johnson, by the way. They was calling some stupid stuff. They should get fined for calling bad, making worse, terrible calls and stuff like that. That's how pissed I am. They cost us the game. I don't care what nobody say. They cost us the game. They must get paid. They must have got paid good today or something, but they blew that field goal. That hurt us coming into half. No question. They needed that. Yeah. Well, Deontay, you said what you said. I don't disagree with you, but probably going to get fined.
He said what he said.
He said what he said. Micah Fitzpatrick went down. He went down in the Browns game, and you were able to survive that game, but went down after just 8 snaps on Sunday versus the Jags. What type of blow is it when you lose a guy like Micah?
Man, that's a big blow, man. Because we all know that what Micah means to this defense, you know, his presence on the field, him just being that quarterback of the secondary, making sure guys are lined up correctly, making sure we're in our proper checks. And he's the longest tender in the secondary that's been here, so he understands the still away. He understands, you know, the way to go about our business each and every day, you know, how we need to prepare, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's a big blow. You know, I still don't know how long he'll be out, but I just
the hamstring is triggered.
I just found out that he'll be out for sure Thursday. So just wishing him best. You know, I know he's going to do everything in his power to get back as quick as possible, but this is a blow that's really, really big for us, man. So hopefully he's not out too long and we have the right guys backing him up that's going to you know, fill that void until he gets back into the starting lineup.
So with the absence of Micah, do you see yourself moving around more so at the safety spots? You know, we saw a lot of movement for you, not this last ball game. We saw you inside a lot, but the game, who do you play? The Rams. You know, we saw you moving around a lot. You play safety quite a few snaps against the Rams. So do you visualize, do you believe that as a chance for you to kind of get in the back end a little bit, with especially with Micah not being there?
Probably, you know, just thinking about it and just seeing how I feel, how successful we was.
Hold on, let me ask you this though. Let me. Would you want to? Like, would you be okay being in the back end a little bit?
Yeah, I want to do whatever, you know, I can do to help this team win, man, because that's what it's all about for me at this stage of my career. I just want to win. You know, it's nothing like that feeling of winning ball games, and it never gets old, you know. So as long as God give me the, you know, the will and the determination to wake up and, you know, prepare for a team each and every given Sunday, I'm all in, you know, so whatever, you know, the coaching staff see that best fits us, you know, I'm all in for it. So if that's playing safe, if that's playing inside, if it's playing outside solely, you know, I'm all in for it. Yeah, I just think, you know, the Steelers for giving me an opportunity to be a ball player, man, to have that feeling of, you know, being involved into the game plan, you know, just not being a solely cornerback, because, you know, that's what I did, you know, for the early part of my football career in high school, league, things like that, just being more involved in the game, and they're giving me that opportunity to do that.
Let's talk about the defense, man. Even with the absence of Micah, I mean, you guys played some real good football, especially in the first half. You know, the defense gave the offense opportunities in the first half. You forced Jacksonville to 3 field goals. He had 2 red zone turnovers. That's huge. 2 red zone turnovers. So tell us a little bit about the vibe for the defense, because in totality, it was only that splash play they completed to Travis Etienne that kind of led to them being in a prime position to win that ball game. Outside of that, y'all played good football, man. So mentally, man, what was the vibe for you guys defensively? Because like I said, you forced 2 red zone turnovers. You made them settle for field goals, and that's what you want. That's what you want.
Yeah, I mean, you've been in this organization. You've been on the defensive side of the ball. You know, with this organization, you know what Steeler defense means, and you know their whole operation of fighting for every blade of grass. And you know, if you're on the grass, you have an opportunity to make a play. You know, so guys really take that to heart. You know, so each and every time we step out on the field, we just, it's an opportunity for someone to become, you know, great, or, you know, the playmaker for us on that series. You know, so in each and in those drives, they had a little something going, but no one ever blinked. You know, we just looked around, you know, at one another, and was like, who's going to make the play? Can't be afraid to make the play. You know, those just some of the conversations that was going on in the huddle before each and every one of those plays was made. So, you know, guys just, you know, really take that being on a Steeler defense, really take that heart of trying to put out our best performance each and every day, because we also understand that, you know, we cannot, you know, give up big plays. We cannot let teams score easily. We have to make them work for it. You know, we have to make splash plays to shorten the field for our offense, or even score with it, you know, if it comes down to that. So guys just understand what playing on this Steeler defense means. And it's truly important to us to put a good effort out there each and every time we step on the football field.
I mean, y'all play good. Y'all only gave up 1 touchdown. Like, you gave up 1 touchdown. Shouts out to whoever had Jacksonville Jaguars kicker on their fantasy team, because he gave you a lot of production. You gave it 1 touchdown, that splash play to Travis Etienne. What happened on that play? It looked like it was a cover 2. And from my viewpoint, KZ just had a bad angle. You know what I mean? Bad angle. And, you know, that led to the opportunity. But, you know, outside of that, Pappy, y'all play good football.
I feel like we played some good football. But as a defense, those are plays that we got to get out of our system, though, you know, moving forward. You know, I just feel like, you know, that's something that's really hindering us from being, you know, a really elite defense. Early on in the season, we gave up, you know, I mean, I really feel like they're going down, but we have to get them off our tape in totality.
You got to.
Yeah, if we want to be as good as we want to be. So,
And until the offense become more of a consistent, productive group, you got to play lights out. Yes. You have no window for an error right now. That's just the reality of it. We watch the game. You're part of the game. That's the reality of it. You know, guys like Quan Alexander, Nick Harbert, Herbig, you know, play big time football. Cole Holcomb, Keanu O'Neal, you know, DeMonte Casey. I mean, you got some guys that really surface and play some pretty good football. You just can't allow those type plays, especially knowing that the consistency is not quite there yet with the offense. And I'll say this, yeah, from afar, as a fan, it's a hard watch right now watching our offense. It's a hard watch. The first few drives offensively for our offense was a telling tale of what the entire game was going to look like. The first three plays, actually, and Dick LeBeau should tell us all the time, when he was coaching us as a defenders, he said the two most important possessions of a football game is the first possession and the first possession after halftime. Those are the two most important possessions, because that can usually jumpstart you, right? Think about this. The first seam shot to Deontay, if that's completed, we're in the plus 50 now.
Right.
The first play.
Yeah.
He was open, just didn't complete the play. That would have been right now we got momentum now out the gate.
Right.
But the miscue that led to the incompletion led to a second down play where we got sacked. That led to a third down play.
Yeah.
That was third and long.
I think Najee got hit in the backfield.
Yeah, well, it was a negative play. We didn't get positive.
Right.
So for us, you know, fans, everybody, they complain about our offense night and day. And rightfully so, because the standard is a standard. But I'm going to tell you like this. Nothing changing in regards to coaching. It's not happening right now. So for players, you just got to do better. You got to find a way to do better. Individually speaking, everybody got to do better. Hold each other accountable. Have those tough meetings amongst each other and say, man, bro, we got to do better. We tripping. I got to block better. I'm getting my behind whooped right now. But I know I'm better. I gotta run better. I got to throw better. I got to catch better. I got to do all of that. That's just that's the harsh reality about the game of football. Because you know when you don't have a good game. I know, heck, when I used to have a bad game, I used to feel like I was sick. Like my stomach hurt, man. And I used to hate having to watch that tape.
Yeah.
Boy, I used to hate to have to watch that tape. Boy. Especially when I first got in the league, boy, we had Bill Cowher. He put that red dot on you. Oh, break. Boy, I feel like I couldn't get out my own way, boy. What are you doing, B-Mac? What are you doing? What are you looking at? Dude, you supposed to have contain. How is he getting outside you? Right. But that's the harsh realities. You know what I mean? So it is what it is. But we got to find a way. We got to find a way to get things going and to do it in a consistent way. You know what I mean? And we're undefeated in that division. And our fans, they kill Matt Canada week in and week out, and deserving so, because the standard is a standard. It wouldn't be Pittsburgh. It wouldn't be Steelers if they fans didn't complain when they don't see what they're supposed to see. You know what I mean? That's why we got six Sticky Lombardis. That's why we got a museum, a hall of greatness, because God set the standard. And when you put that jersey on, it goes to a whole nother level. The expectations, the spotlight goes to a whole nother level, man. So the one thing that bothered me as a former Steeler, when I saw Andrew Wingard, when he caught the interception, he grabbed a terrible towel.
Yeah,
that made me feel some type of way. Listen, if I'd have been in my younger days, I might have just went out there, man, and tried to get me a flag. I'm just going to hit somebody for no reason. I just and tell one of y'all vets, man, take care of this $15,000 flag. Fine, I'm about to just, because, you know, I'm a young boy. I can't afford to have that out my check. But I'm about to just run into somebody for no reason, bro. For no reason. Because I felt, I'm going to tell you, when we had that experience with Cincinnati, when TJ Houshmandzadeh did it to us, man, and we finally got a chance to play them again in the playoffs. Bill Cowher showed that. And then who would have thought a freaking terrible towel will feel like family? And, man, we got fired up, bro. And it became personal. But you know what? Who knows? Who knows what can happen throughout the rest of the way when playoffs come? Might have to see them people again.
Yeah, man, I hope so.
You might have to see them Jacksonville Jaguars again. So we just got to wait and see. But it is what it is. It's a week to bounce back. And with that being said, we're going to take a quick break. Bounce back game happens Thursday. Get the bad taste out your mouth. You don't have to wait a full week to get the bad taste of losing to Jacksonville out of your mouth. You get opportunity Thursday night football against the Titans.
Right back at it, baby.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.
Titans preview, Pat P. Before TNF, there's a deadline. Trade deadline on Tuesday is definitely a more active day than when you entered the league. Is there a different mood around the locker room, you know, knowing the trade deadline is right around the corners? You know, it's here. And before you guys play, either you guys will have the same guys in the locker room getting ready for Tennessee, or you might have a new face here or there. You know, what's your expectation?
Man, you never know with this league, man. You just have to, it's a day-to-day league. You know, you just never know what guys are going to be in the locker room, but what guys are not going to be in the locker room. You know, whatever Omar and Coach Tomlin feel like is going to help us better, I'm sure that they're going to make the proper move. But I don't see any moves, any real big moves being made, in my opinion.
I'm right there with you, but who knows? We know Omar seems to be pretty aggressive. So who knows? But I can tell you this much, man, whatever happens, you know what's in front of you. You know what you got to do. You know, you're 33 years old right now, Pat P.
Yep.
What the dude from Cleveland said, called you old. I can't care about that. He called you old. You're 33. In football years, you're like a dog. You're old dog. You're old St. Bernard or something like that.
That live for a while, huh?
No question. How do you approach a short week, man, you know, being at this stage in your career?
Man, hell, well, this is my 13th Thursday night game, you know, so.
Yeah, because you played in a Thursday night game at least once every year in your career.
Yeah, so we got two of them this year. So
I got two of them.
Lord's willing, playing in 14 of them this season. But, you know, honestly, just trying to catch up on, trying to kick my feet up as much as I can. Just trying to get the blood circulating through my legs.
Mm-hmm.
Getting up early. Pretty much bumping everything up earlier in the week than it would be later in the week. You know, so I get my massage tomorrow. You know, I normally get that like on a Wednesday or a Thursday, depending on what activities the kids have going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to get my IV. You know, I get that tomorrow as well.
What does the IV do for you?
Just give me my vitamins and minerals that I need for, you know, my body to recover and able to bounce back for another game on the following Sunday. You know, so just giving me like the B12 for energy.
Mm-hmm. I got some B12 by the way.
And things like that.
Yeah, I got to get some B12 too. My B12 don't hit like you got that expensive stuff. That how much the IV is, Peppy?
Shit, about 400.
Yeah, I'm going to go get my B12 from Publix or Kroger. I'm not doing that. But that's what it takes, though. That's why you've been able to last as long as you last. You know, you spend money on your body. It's like, you know, investing in yourself, and the investment has surely paid off. Will Levis, right? You know who Will Levis is, Pat P?
Yeah, I know who Will Levis is. That's the guy who liked mustard in his
mayo.
Mayonnaise, my bad.
Mayonnaise. Oh. Yeah, what's the proper way to call it? Is it mayo or mayonnaise? Well, like, what's the best way? Like, mayo, mayonnaise?
Mayonnaise is the correct way to say it.
Who told you that? How you know?
Because that's what it says on the jar. It don't say no mayo. It says mayonnaise.
I seen jars with mayo, with the word mayo.
Because you seen Miracle Whip. That Miracle Whip says mayo.
But it's the same thing. Is Miracle Whip the same thing as mayonnaise?
But on the bottle, is mayonnaise, man. That's the right name. That's the right way you say it. End of discussion.
I like mayo. I don't want to say the whole mayonnaise. I don't like mayonnaise. Mayonnaise sounds like it doesn't taste good. I like mayo. You like mayo?
I don't like mayonnaise anyway.
You don't put on none of your food? You don't like
light mayonnaise. I don't want to taste it, mayonnaise.
So back in the day, and don't act like I'm the only one who used to do this. I used to eat bologna sandwiches. You didn't have to put mayonnaise in your bologna sandwich?
I'm not eating no damn bologna sandwich. No.
You ain't eat bologna sandwiches?
Man, garbage, man. My grandpa used to eat that bologna sandwich, man. I was like, Papa, what is this?
I know
you
weird. I know you've been weird. You don't like Waffle House. You don't like bologna. And you grew up in Pompano. And you
ham and cheese. Ham and cheese.
You grew up in Pompano Beach, Florida.
So let's put out
what my aunt, who from Carolina, your grandma,
yes,
and Uncle Buster, and I know they love bologna, fried bologna. They probably fried that thing and put a slit in one of the sides. And you didn't eat it.
Yeah, no, give me a ham. My grandma already knew. Ham, little Pat's coming over. He want ham and cheese. He don't eat no bologna. He don't eat no bologna. He don't eat eggs.
What?
Yeah.
What type of alien are you? You don't eat eggs?
Man,
you don't eat.
What is bologna meat, Matt? What? Tell me what does bologna?
I don't know. It was good to me at that time. I enjoyed it. I don't eat it now. But growing up, that's a childhood thing because that was one of the first things I can make.
First
my
of all,
home,
what does it
bologna
taste like? What does
bologna?
It taste like?
It's meat.
What does bologna taste like?
Heck, I
bologna. You know what Coach say? That's bologna. That's what bologna tastes like. Bologna.
You weird, right? You don't like Waffle House. How you grew up? Oh, what? Man. How you ain't grow up eating? But shouts out to all my bologna sandwich eaters out there from back in the day in the '80s, man.
Damn,
you fried that bologna when you got of age, but when you wasn't of age, you had to get some bread, put a little bit of mayo, mayonnaise on the bread, put your
peanut
two slices
jelly,
of bologna. You want to put some cheese on that thing. You got your full course meal. And some potato chips, some Doritos.
Protein, man. Peanut butter jelly, toasted bread. Then I put my peanut
butter. I eat peanut butter.
I ain't bologna sandwich.
Yeah, you weird, bro. You got to figure out something.
No, man. I ain't no bologna sandwich, man.
I don't know what's going on with you. Yeah, I think you. I don't know. But Will Levis had a massive debut against Atlanta. 233-38 yards, 4 touchdowns. He had a huge, huge connection with quite a few different connections with a guy you've been to battle against, DeAndre Hopkins, third player in NFL history with 4 passing TDs in his NFL debut. Marcus Mariota, Fran Tarkenton also did so, man. So how do you prepare for a quarterback that has only one start? Do you look at any college tape like in that scenario?
Nah, we too deep in the season for that.
Yeah.
We too far in the season for college tape. Obviously he has some preseason tape, you know, game plan going to be a little bit different. But when you're looking at guys like that, you're kind of trying to kind of gauge his arm talent, kind of gauge what throws he can make, and things like that, because they've been rolling with 2 quarterbacks, if I'm not mistaken, in that last game. Will may have taken more
Will starting against y'all. Ain't nobody rolling nothing. He healthy. He started.
No, I'm talking about last week.
Against Atlanta?
Last week.
Yeah, so DeAndre Hop. D-Hop is what, 2 years younger than you? Used in 2011 draft. I think could have been like, yeah. But sure, man. Before the game against Atlanta, he wasn't really doing a lot. Atlanta, he had 3 touchdowns, man. What type of threat, you know, is D-Hop still at this stage in his career? And you guys have had a lot of battles too, by the way, right? You know, I know you had a lot of respect for him, your former teammate, but what type of threat is he still? He had 4 receptions for 128, 3 touchdowns. So one of my fantasy league, before you answer the question, Pat P, one of the guys in our league had DeAndre Hopkins on the bench. He had 50 points on the bench from DeAndre Hopkins. And bang. You already know he lost. Yeah, fantasy football.
Yeah, for sure.
No,
you asked me my thoughts on DeAndre?
Yeah, yeah. What type of threat is he? Because he's pretty much their primary, you know, passing threat right now.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? For sure. So, he's definitely their number one receiver. For the most part, I feel like, D-Hop is D-Hop. You know, we all know he's going to catch the ball. He's
future Hall of Famer, in my opinion.
He's going to make the contested catches. I just feel like now they're utilizing him a little bit different than he was utilized in Arizona, in my opinion. They're moving him from left to right. They run him. They put him in a slot. They put him at number 3. They put him at the bunch and put him at the point at bunch formations. know, so they're moving him around a lot more. And also he's running a lot more route combinations than he did. You know,
because
when he was in Arizona, he was always the X receiver. So he ran like the slant or comeback or go or dig if he gave you an inside stem majority of the time. But now there in Tennessee, they kind of opened up his route tree a little bit more. So that's what's making him, in my opinion, making him a little bit more dangerous to study for, because, you know, Tennessee is implementing that into his game thus far throughout the season. But like I said, we all know he's going to make, you know, the contested catch. We all know that, you know, he's a physical receiver. You know, he's a run after the catch type guy. So we all know that we have our hands full, and Thursday night will be here before you know it. And it's just going to come down to see how we mount up to the challenge.
And also, too, another guy, you know, you got to be mindful of is Derrick Henry. He ran for over 100 yards last week against Atlanta. When you play against a guy like Derrick Henry, I mean, it's got to have this mindset against any running back in the National Football League. But for sure with Derrick Henry, you got to play what I call ant defense.
Yeah.
You know what ant defense is, Pat P?
Hey, everybody got to bite him.
Mm-hmm. No, that's not how I explain what ant defense is.
What is ant defense?
Ant defense is when you drop a street crumb, a piece of crumb.
Everybody around them.
You see how them ants attack that crumb?
That's what I'm talking about. Everybody.
I didn't like how you sounded when you said it. I like my way. I didn't like it. I wanted to say how I wanted to say it. That's what ant defense is.
But I got what you said. I got what you was saying.
I don't know, my viewers and the listening audience, you know, who knows. But that's what ant defense is. Y'all got to act like it's some street crumbs out there, man, some ants, man. They go attack that. What's wrong with you?
That's a big street crumb, man.
That's a boy. But yeah, but I know I saw that leg off, boy, because Derrick Henry ain't slowing down none, boy. You talk about a massive running back. Yeah, you got to play that. You got 11 men to the ball. 11 men to the ball. 11 men to the ball. Stop the run. Make them one-dimensional, make the rookie quarterback look like a rookie quarterback, get back in the winning column. This is a very important ball game. You're currently 4-3. You're undefeated in your division, so that's a plus.
Yeah.
But this is a very, very important ball game because it's safe to say the Tennessee Titans, they're just an in-the-way team. They're not a team that I believe has a legit shot to compete for their division to win it, or better yet, make a deep postseason run. At home against a rookie quarterback, this is a very, very important. Every game is important, but this game, especially coming off a loss, is very, very important because this is a winnable ball game. Will Levis had a good game last week. It's time to bring him back down to reality, right? Bring him back down to reality. Make this man look like a rookie because, like I said, they're in the way team. They're like a team where, you know, when you go in residential areas, Pat P, and you're driving and you see the little speed bump because they want you to kind of be mindful of your speed, but you just go over it, boom. You see it, but you really ain't respecting it. Boom. Right, that's what they are. They're in the way team. They are speed bumping the residential area.
I'm like you said. I don't want nobody picking up on this.
You said
anything.
I'm just saying it. I mean, it is what it is. They're like an in the way team right now. They're Jacksonville is the cream of the crop in the division. They're playing some pretty good football. That was a good thing that they did last week. But come on, it's home playing against a rookie quarterback. You got to find a way to get back on track. Hey, they might think y'all are in the way team too. Who knows, right? That's the mindset. At the end of the day, the game is played on the field. So, got to get back. Sir. And it's prediction time. Boz,
it's prediction time.
Boz, you ain't missing no field goal this week. That ain't going to be on my watch.
Thank you.
That ain't going to be on my watch. So, this. All right. We're in a 55-game drought. Eric, do a stat check on that. 55-game drought. Of not having 400 yards of total offense. I think it's 55 and counting, or 50. Mm. We're in the 50s. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm not just going to give us a score prediction. Nostradamus is going to give us two prediction. We're going to see an explosion of offensive production Thursday night. We're going to see similarities to what we saw during the preseason when you guys played against Atlanta. We're going to see efficiency in throwing the football. We're going to see sound production in running the football. And we're going to see a swarming defense. Disrespectful guys doing disrespectful things. I want to see you cut somebody out Thursday, Pat P. I want to see you cut somebody. I need to see Pat P who last week of the year when you played against the Arizona Cardinals, you cussed out the coach. You cussed out, You cussed out a lot of people. Now you ain't gonna be mic'd up. Now if you mic'd up, well, the hell with it, right? You know what I'm talking. I need to see that Pat P. I need to see the floor. I need to, because when you played against the Cardinals last year, Minnesota, that was Pompano Beach Pat P. That was like listening to Kodak Black came out. I'm like, really throw it off right now. I got something on my mind that's personal. Can I get that Pat P Thursday night, cussing folks out, getting people fired up, and flying to the football? That's all that. So if you need to listen to a Kodak Black song, whatever you listened to last year against Arizona, I need it. I know you're a nice guy. You really, you know, you go about your business. You know, you talk to people out there and feeling well, but you still put in your work. No, F all that. F that.
F all that.
Yes. Tell them to F off. I ain't talking to you today. Usually I'm going to break bread with you and dap. I know you and D-Hop cool, but now F all that, bro. It's personal. It's personal. I need you to feel like whoever you going against broke into your grandma's house and stole her TV.
Gotcha.
And you know how much you care about your good grandma, now, right or wrong now?
Amen. No doubt about it.
You can't mess with, you cannot mess with grandma.
Yeah,
you stole grandma's TV and she only had one in the house? Huh?
Where they do that at?
Man, we got to fight. Forget that. I got to fight. We got to fight right now. But that's why I need you to go. I need to get there and I need to see you for four quarters. Because you do it, everybody will be like, Pat P. Yep, I got too fired up, Pat P. I'm talking too much. Let me shut up. Let me get to the prediction. Prediction. All right, we're going to see at least. So, ladies and gents, the streak will be broken. We're going to have over 400 yards of total offense. I don't know how, but it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen. Over 400 yards total offense. And the score going to be 26-13.
26-13. Okay.
400 yards of total offense. And I'm okay with it because I'm not playing against Najee Harris, Warren, and my fantasy. So I can care less. And if I did, I don't care. Over 400 yards of total offense. 26-13, Pat P.
I like it.
And Pat, pumping on beach, Pat P is going to be in attendance on the field.
As long as we win.
As long as we win. Win. Pittsburgh 26, Tennessee Titans 13 points. 400 yards total offense.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has three episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.
Hello, everyone. It's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
Pat P, before I let you go, Kirk Cousins tore his Achilles.
Man.
That hurt me bad.
Sad news in the NFL, man.
Lord. Hey, Kirk Cousins. Y'all can say whatever y'all want to say about Kirk Cousins. See, Kirk Cousins don't make the all-look team. He the type of guy, if you had to pick somebody based on how they look in a uniform, you ain't picking him because he looked like he just put his uniform on as they give it to him. He ain't no alterations to his jersey, his pants, his socks. He just put his little cleats be dirty. He don't have no clean cleats on.
Yeah.
The helmet is ugly. I hate that helmet. But what he was doing this year, completing 70% of his pass. Yeah, and last year. But this year, boy, he been hot as bacon grease. 70%. Completion percentage, that's fifth in the league, 2,331 yards. That's second in the league in passing yards. And first with passing touchdowns, 18. And he's been doing a lot of that the last few ball games without Justin Jefferson. He was going to get paid once again. He probably still going to get paid, but the rate he was going, Captain Kirk was going to get 40+.
Yeah. Now, Kirk can play, man. And, you know, I had the opportunity to be his teammate for the last two seasons.
Good guy, man.
Yeah, great guy. You know, he does it the right way. The game means a lot to him. His teammates mean a lot to him. and just having, you know, leading by an example and being a man of a God, being a man of God mean a lot to him as well. So
yeah,
it was incredible being his teammates to see how he handled himself each and every day in the locker room on a day-to-day basis. And it hurt me to my heart to see that happen, him tearing his Achilles in that ball game, because, you know, like you said, he was playing at a high level, at a very, very high level, MVP
yeah.
Type level, but no one would ever give him that type of recognition because, I don't know, his name is Kirk Cousins.
Yeah,
but his stats are there. His production is there.
Yeah, stop playing with Kirk.
It sucks to see Captain Kirk go down with that Achilles injury, and that's a big blow.
Yes, it is.
Like his team, for sure.
No question. Well, Pat, people going to let you go. Hey, man, shouts out and thanks to all the fans that came out to the signing with me and Pat P. We really enjoyed taking pictures with you guys and sharing some stories. Shouts out to everyone who I got a chance to talk to in the stadium before the game against the Jacksonville Jaguars, you know, saying good things about our podcast, All Things Covered. We got so many fans, so many listeners and viewers that have been consistently checking us out weekly and just vibing with us, man. We really appreciate you guys. So, Pat P, you didn't get a chance to have that fan interaction like I did, man, in the stadium, on the field. But there were so many people saying, man, we watch the podcast. We love the podcast. Man, we appreciate y'all, man. We're going to keep doing what we're doing and having fun and doing. So, Pat P, Kodak yes, Black, in the locker room before you get out there, because I need you to be pissed off.
Gotcha.
Cuss somebody out for no reason. I don't care.
They don't want to see me winning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There we go. Hey, my one prediction was over 400 yards. Pittsburgh won 26-13. Let's go. Thursday night football, Tennessee Titans. Don't meet us there. Beat us there. Peace.
Yes, sir. Peace.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.